of us today, that you would take the words that I speak and then work them by your Spirit into whatever message each of us is supposed to hear this day. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the fifth message in a series of messages which I'm calling Dragons of the Mind. And these dragons are things that we all have, and they come in varying sizes and shapes, but they're things like fear and worry and guilt and unforgiveness, which are the ones that we've talked about so far. Today we're dealing with anger, but there's other things like inner turmoil, shame, bondage, resentment, bitterness, and doubt, just to mention some of them. Dragons of the mind. They're things that haunt us in our minds. They loom over us like huge fire-breathing beasts. Our lives, our future, our ability to live fully in the present are often blocked by these dragons of the mind. We get paralyzed by these dragons. They guard the roads in our minds that lead to fulfillment or health or peace. And today I want to deal with the dragon of the mind that causes a great deal of problems to people around us. If this dragon finds place in the kingdom of our minds and our lives, and it is the dragon of anger, rage, and it is a huge red dragon, just like the cover of the bulletin today. It has hate in its eyes. I have a clip from Reign of Fire where you're going to see an image of this dragon and the fire that's based around him. Tougher challenge than bullfighting. Anyway, that comes out of the movie Reign of Fire, and that's one nasty dragon. The dragon of anger burns all your enemies to a crisp, but for some of us, this dragon is totally out of control. It burns anything, anyone around us who gets in our way, and it spews lava in the form of hateful words. This dragon disturbs our world's peace. It burns the lives of those we say we love. This huge beast called anger. It destroys marriages. It kills relationships. It ruins churches and businesses. This dragon spews hot lava breath upon anything in its path, and nothing of life will grow where it breathes, because of the poisonous heat that it lays down. I have Ecclesiastes 7:9 printed in your bulletin, and we should read it. Here we go. Be not quick to anger, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Before allowing the dragon to breathe, there needs to be an environmental impact statement filed. A person is never in worse company than when he flies into a rage and is beside himself. There are a few of us who have a real problem with anger. And these are the people we know who are temperamental. That is, they're 90% temper and 10% mental. But there are a lot of us who have had troublesome times come upon us because of our uncontrolled anger. One person said, I lose my temper, but it's all over in a moment. And a person standing next to them replied, so is the hydrogen bomb. But think of the damage it unleashes. Recently in the movie theaters, we've had The Hobbit. And the second one in that was called The Desolation of Smaug. And the last one's called Five Armies. But there is a dragon in this that series, and I will show you what a person with anger can do. Now, that's a clip out of a movie, but I've seen people who have anger in their heart, and they unleash it in the environments in which they live. There are two kinds of anger. There's an anger that is correct, and then there's what most of us exercise. Our anger, which we know is justified because we know how things should be. Let me spend a couple of minutes telling you about correct anger, but the rest of the time I want to spend on the evil dragon, anger itself. The things that should make us angry are miscarriages of justice. Justice is basically collective love, and when we observe an unjust situation, it should raise up in us an anger that is really righteous indignation. Anger over injustice or prejudice or bigotry should cause us a rise for righteousness to be taken care of. This is true in families and businesses, churches, communities, countries, and this world as a whole. Now, what a righteous anger can bring is God's kingdom rule into the world, God's kingdom. Our problem is most of the time our anger is a dragon which wants to bring our rule into a situation. And if we can't be vindicated, the dragon will burn up anything in our way. So let's deal with the dragon of anger. And let's read James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. I might add, let every woman be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of women does not work the righteousness of God either. The dragon of anger works with the dragons of unforgiveness and guilt. The dragons of unforgiveness and guilt render the judgment on others or ourselves, and that judgment is guilty as charged. The dragon of anger is the executioner and of the judgment. The dragon of anger that lives in our minds is the one that spews out the action needed to punish the unforgiven and the guilty. Now, anger works evil. That's why it's a dragon. Like Satan is the ultimate dragon. Anger works evil. I wonder how many of us here today would say that anger either is or has been a major problem in our lives. How many of us here, I'm not asking for hands, have either been hooked on anger or been humiliated by our own anger, or humiliated or burned by the anger of somebody else? I also wonder how many of us would confess to the fact that we have burned somebody else to toast by the breath of this dragon in our minds. I expect there's somebody here who is just bone weary of your bondage to anger, resentment, bitterness, and judgment. We seek freedom from ourselves, and we seek freedom from some other person who burns us with their incessant, hateful anger. So what makes you angry? For some of us, I just need to ask, why are you angry so much of the time? Why are you an angry person always in conflict with everything? What makes you angry? What causes the dragon to awake from its sleep and breathe its burning breath? Occasionally, it may be because of something that is an injustice, but most of the time, we are just angry because things don't go our way, or we can't have our way. And if we're honest with ourselves, 99% of the time, our dragon of anger raises its ugly head because of our own selfish desires or our own impatience with the way things are. This dragon resides behind closed doors of our castles most of the time. Our homes are our castles, and that's where the dragon lives most of the time. And like most threatening situations, it is not wise to leave a living dragon out of your calculations. I don't know about you, but I don't lose my temper in public very often because I know that if I do, I'm going to have to clean up my own mess. But most of us unleash the dragon at home or with loved ones, spouse, friends, kids, parents. We keep the dragon caged within the castle and put on a good show in public most of the time. But how are you behind the closed doors of your castle, your home? Because that's how you really are. At the end of the day, when you pull up the drawbridge to your castle, your family gets the real you. Is there a red dragon of anger that resides in your mind and your castle? This dragon destroys the quality of our personal lives, our marriages, our health. Angry words are the hot dragon breath that burns the people around us. And once spewed forth, it is hard to grow anything where the words that make up this breath land. When this dragon gets a foothold in a family, the life of that family gets burned up and nothing will grow in it. Now, the people at work may think you're okay. Those people who meet daily, you meet daily, may think you're okay, but they don't live with you and your dragon of anger. The truth is, though, they probably are just as civilized as you and hold their tongue around you because they try to keep their dragons at bay in public as well. And if you are the boss, they fear your dragon. This sermon is addressed to the real you. And I expect I will awaken the dragon of anger in some of you against me because this dragon has eyes that hate anything that stands against its domain in you. This dragon comes in three different kinds. There is the dragon of anger, which has a very low flash point. You remember the kitchen masters that had the white point on the end? They went out of business. They couldn't do it anymore because they're too volatile. Well, those kitchen matches had a low flash point. You could strike them on anything, and that white part had such a low flash point they would light. Some of us have tempers like the white tip on the kitchen match. Minor irritations ignite this dragon. And little things are blown all out of a proportion. This dragon is like using a cannon to kill a fly. You might kill the fly with that cannon, but you're also going to tear the house up pretty good when you do it. Some of us think that there is no harm done when we flash our dragon breath. But remember the cannon and the fly. It will tear the house up. Also, we get the name as being somebody to be avoided. Hey, he's got a low flash point. The frequency of the angry dragon breath is very harmful, and you stay away from that kind of person. Then there is the dragon of anger that doesn't strike quickly, but it's a huge dragon, and it's bigger than quick flash, the lesser dragon of anger. When this dragon finally bellows forth its breath, it can burn almost the whole house down. The intensity of the heat is terrifying and life-threatening at the same time. Of course, the dragon thinks that he is just letting off steam. We should call him Stanley Steamer. But steam can deliver third-degree burns and death. Ask any lobster. Then there is the dragon of anger known as smoldering death. This is the grudge keeper. This dragon of anger smolders and seethes and plots revenge. The toxic juices that fuel this dragon's breath are strengthened in power by an aging process. And when this dragon finally blows, it is calculated to kill. The problem with this dragon of the mind, no matter which of these three breeds of the angry dragon, are all dragons of the mind. They live inside of you. Now, this dragon touches those around us more than other dragons of mind, like your fears and worries don't always bother other people, your guilt. But this dragon's main area of attack and place of destruction is around us. What happens on the inside of you because of this dragon becomes real on the outside. When this dragon rises up in you or me or in someone else towards us, there is killing that is involved. We either kill another person or they kill us. On the inside of us, what happens when someone who is very important to us gets mad at us? Think about that. What does it do to you? When the dragon of anger rises up, it kills, doesn't it? Anger breeds pain and anguish and death, and it tears us up on the inside. The breath of this dragon burns us on the inside. I read someplace that about 60% of all disease is caused by emotional stress. I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounds like it might be a higher percentage than even that. But the dragon of anger breathes all kinds of enzymes and hormones from the adrenal glands, thyroid, pituitary glands, which are kind of like hot toxins in our blood when we get mad. This dragon of anger can cause heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, ulcers, and other physical ailments. So what is anger? As far as I can tell, anger is simply the expression of a person's condemning judgment. If things don't go our way, then we get mad. From pesky little irritations to major disappointments in life, and anger is our judgment on the way things are or aren't, and the way people are or aren't. Anger seems to rise up in our selfishness and impatience. We are happy when people agree with us, let us have our own way, and give us what we want. The problem is they don't always agree with us, and they don't always let us have our own way or give us what we want. There are several reasons that we allow the dragon of anger to get such a hold on us. First reason is the violation of our personal rights as God-given. Common courtesy, respect, freedoms. When people come up against us in this area, we feel sinned against. I have Proverbs 19:11 printed. Let's read it together. Good sense makes a man slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Now notice it says it's his glory to overlook and an offense. One way you can hose down this dragon and cool it off is to overlook little sins that come against you. Another thing that makes us angry is a disappointment in terms of our position in life. We need to accept our lot in life as from the Lord, and if we are not content with what we have, the issue is not getting more, but learning to be content with our circumstances. It's a hard lesson to learn, but to accept our place, our position in life, is an act of trust that God knows what He is doing. It may seem that we are blocked from fulfillment, and when it doesn't seem like we will ever achieve what we think we should be or have or do, then we get angry. And we get angry at God. We get angry at those people who stand in our way or people that hold the position that we want in life. We get angry at ourselves or the people around us. Once again, the way to fulfillment in life is to rest in what the Lord works in your life and to trust Him. The question, though, is always who's king? Who's judge in your life and others, you or God? Read with me Psalm 37, 5 to 8. It expresses the principle of who's in charge and who we should trust. Let's read it together. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light and your right as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Son, go down on your anger. It tends only to evil. I was down, skipped down there for a minute. If you commit your way to the Lord, It will cast out the dragon of anger when it comes to disappointments in life, frustrated ambitions, blocked goals. The key is to make Jesus king and judge of your life situations and not yourself. We also get angry over all those pesky little irritations and troublesome interruptions in life. From the kids who continually bounce the ball in the house, to the friend who taps the pencil incessantly, to the constant phone calls and the dirty feet tracking in mud, the Jehovah's Witness who stops by, the guy who takes your parking place. Of course, there is always the lost remote to the TV and that meal prepared especially for you that you have told your spouse you hate. Then there's the toothpaste in which she squeezes from the bottom and you squeeze from the top, not to mention the toilet seat. And so it goes. The neighbor's dog who uses your yard for a toilet, and then there is that incessant snoring, and the preacher who always runs too long with a message, or meetings that don't start on time, and life's little irritations seem to cause the dragon to breathe on us more often than the big problems. We started with Ecclesiastes 7:9. Let me read it to you again. Be not quick to anger. For anger lodges in the bosom of fools. Then there are unrealistic expectations that make us mad. We have expectations of people we should never have. Then when they don't live up to our expectations, we unleash the dragon of anger and we burn those people, those circumstances, and anything else that may be around. We don't seem to build in enough slack in the strings that we have on our loved ones. My question is, who told you to be judge in the first place? Who made you king and judge? Well, you did, of course. So if people and circumstances don't live up to our expectations, the bellow of the dragon notifies those around us of our hot temper coming their way. The truth is that most of our anger is the result of us wanting to be God, and that, by the way, is sin. And when it comes to the dragon of anger, we're in a holy war. This dragon will rise up against God himself. You see, the war is over who is king of the castle, or as in the movies, the Hobbit movies, who's king under the mountain? You? Or God. When Jesus comes, he says he is king, and if that's true, then buddy, the anger is a dragon which we should not abide to live in our lives, but it will rise up. If we set ourselves up as judge and king of the way things should be, then we keep the dragons of the mind as pets. The dragon of anger is our killer dragon. Anger as an emotion is quite understandable as a human thing we do, but is unjustified for a lot of different reasons. And I'll give you four of them. Your anger is a dragon and needs to be cast out if you are playing God by stealing God's role as the only true judge of all people. Second, since our judgments are almost always condemning, and they result in anger, it denies the mercy and forgiveness of God that he has extended to everybody and to all of us personally. Third, anger is a dragon because of a lot of time this dragon is really an evasion of our own problems. The truth is, other people don't create your dragons, they only reveal them. Other people did not bring your personal dragon of anger into being. All they do is awaken it. The dragon is your creation. The dragon is you, revealed. when you are stirred, whether we're talking about fear or worry or unforgiveness or guilt, today the dragon is anger, and it's your dragon, and other people and circumstances only reveal it. Fourth reason your anger or mine is unjustified is that our anger destroys and burns people. And these are people that God loves and cherishes, and buddy, we can burn them up. So how do we deal with it? Well, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 actually gives us a pathway. Let's read it together. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. There are three things that are mentioned there that Paul writes. Let Jesus help you leash and muzzle this dragon of anger. Second, hose this dragon down with God's grace and mercy, so that you don't take him to bed with you at night. If you leave this dragon still smoldering at night, it will burn you up on the inside. Get on your knees and forgive. Ask for forgiveness yourself. And let Jesus be the judge and the king. Third, be careful with this dragon, for this dragon may get loose in your life, in your castle, where you thought you were king, and it will burn the place down. Let the king of all dragons will come in then, and that's Satan himself. When we are filled with anger, we lose control of ourselves. We give the devil opportunity to gain a foothold in our lives and really tear things up and destroy things. Are you an angry person? Would you like to overcome your anger? The way you do it is to let Jesus come in and be the king of your life. Quit trying to run things. Let God be the judge. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. Once again, as with all dragons, this is a matter of love. The more you love God, the more you let him have rule of your life, the more you let him have rule of your life, the less you judge people and situations. The less you judge people and situations, the less opportunity you have to get angry over the way things are or aren't according to you. Invite Jesus to be king of your life. Decide to follow Jesus. Let him be your model. Walk in his footsteps. Love your enemy, whoever or whatever they may be. When anger rises or continues in you, reach out to Jesus, to whom all power has been given in heaven and earth. Anger is a dragon of the mind and is therefore human or demonic. And we need divine help to slay or cast out or muzzle these dragons that we all face. When it comes to the dragon of anger, love is the essence to fight it. Jesus is the person who needs to be king of our castle where we keep our dragons. Let's pray. Lord, help us when it comes to all these dragons that we fight in this life. Be our king, be our Lord, and help us cast them down in Jesus' name. Amen.